You know, I listened to the messages while Kathy and I were gone, and just want to say we're blessed to have so many people here that have a gift to bring forth the word. It's really a good thing. But I also was really hurt that Reggie mentioned when John was preaching last week, that at least somebody knows how to put the earphones on. maybe John could teach me how to do this a little more efficiently. So
I think Joe didn't do a very good job of editing that.
No, he told me. He put that in on purpose so I could hear it.
So...
So, wow, this is really fantastic. The Lord, this is the way church services should be, where there's multiple input and it's confirming. I guess I'll start out with saying, that song "Light the Fire Again" is right with the first part of what the message is, and lots of other things that were said all are woven together. I don't know if you'll remember those as I'm speaking or not, but I was very blessed listening, and what this does as we talk about the message today. It confirms what the Lord wants us to hear and to be able to be serious about it and be able to really grab hold of it. So all right, I guess I'll I'm trying to decide which way I should go with this. You know, when you have 7,000 things going into your mind at the same time, you got to push your way through some of that. A while back, Steve mentioned something to me and sent me some material, and it was about the. I don't remember how the exact wording, Steve. Something about. The death of the church, or what was that?
The autopsy of a dead church.
The autopsy of a dead church. The last time I preached, I talk about we're coming to a crossroads, and it's going to be very important for us to really be not just think, oh, this is some little cute little message, but that in reality we're coming to something that we're ready need to go to the next rung on the ladder, so to speak. That this isn't just words, that things are happening, we are in the end time. Lots of things that were said just really confirm this. And in these times, we see that Jesus warns us that, even the very elect could end up getting deceived. And that requires then not a magic wand from God, but us being vigilant, us paying attention, us being prepared, body, soul, and spirit, for the things that are coming on the earth, right? Jesus warns us, to be prepared so that we're able to escape the things that are happening on the earth. Now, some things are physical, and there's other things that are spiritual and mental and emotional, and we need to be in a place so that we can escape the consequences of being in darkness about some of these things. Weaknesses in character or propensity to particular kinds of sin. And we want to be people that can get out of that, right? All of us here, I'm talking to the right group of people.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So this is very, very important for us to understand that. This isn't just words to fill up a sermon, but that God really wants to speak to our heart, change our heart, shake us, get us to, come on, let's go. You know, when I was coaching soccer, you had to get the troops motivated. You know, because they're tired. It's halftime, and they're tired, and maybe they're losing, maybe they're winning. It didn't matter to me. I was going to be on their butts because you want to see things through to the very end, right? And so we need to be motivated, and there needs to be energy, and energy starts up here. Doesn't it? You've got to believe that you can do it. And for us as Christians, we got to believe that God can energize us. That I was tired this morning, and I'm praying during part of the service, and God, give me the energy that I need so that I can say what needs to be said and that I remember all the things that have gone through my mind that you want me to say. I want to be able to have that kind of energy. And when you talk about the death of a church, we're not talking about that we're all in our 70s and we all die out. We're not talking about that kind of death. That's not what Steve was talking about. I looked at it. You know, it's about being here, but not being here. Coming into the presence of God, but not experiencing the presence of God. That can happen, can't it? We have certain expectations. Maybe things don't go the way that we want things to go in a service. We're expecting something and it doesn't happen. Or maybe something happens week after week after week and you go, oh yeah, I know what's going to happen now. And we can miss out on the blessing of what's really there.
Yeah.
Right? In each and every incident when we come together. I mean, why do we come together? We're here to worship God. And, well, we can do that at home. Why, what's the point of coming together? Because there is something about the corporate group of people that belong to Christ where we exhort and encourage. There's spiritual energy when the body assembles itself together, or at least it should be. And when that spiritual energy isn't there, the church is dying. And this is what I'm going to be talking to you about, and it'll probably be a series for me once. You know, we're getting back home in Pennsylvania tomorrow, so we won't be here next Sunday again. But I see this happening with us, and lots of what Reggie said and what John said all really tie in together. As I was asking the Lord about the message today, it just seemed like all of this just fit together. So if you would turn in your Bibles, we're going to start in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. I came across something on the internet. I went, oh, yeah, this applies. It said that research shows that churches all tend to plateau at some place. What's that mean? To plateau.
Not grow anymore.
Not grow anymore. Come to a certain level, and instead of continuing to climb, you level out and you stay there. And the plateau part is that, yes, we come to a certain place and we're going to be at that place for a short amount of time, but then, God is a God who wants us to change, to be transformed, to be conformed to the image of His Son. So we shouldn't be at a level for too long. We need to continue to grow. And that's what this, that song is so important for us. For us to really mean it when we sing those words. Lord, light the fire again. because that seems to be what really helps us along, is for us to realize that the things of this world and all the distractions and all these things that have been talked about here over the last numbers of minutes are the things that water us down and get us cooled off with the Lord and get us so we find ourselves days before we go, oh man, I haven't really been connecting too much with God lately. What's going on here? You know? And then we connect back. And this is what we want to do is to... this is a struggle, isn't it? It's a struggle, but it's a good struggle. And it's like Rithi is saying, you know, we get into situations and it's good for our hearts and minds to be tested.
Yeah.
We usually try to avoid testing, but it's good because it drives us deeper into either knowing Christ better, falling on Him, trusting in Him, right? It's a big thing about trust that's involved here. And this brings us to a deeper place, a higher place in Christ. And, I would say that this would be the number one thing about a church not becoming a dead church inside. And that is a pursuing of Christ. To know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Yeah. You show me a church that's going to pursue God no matter what. They're not going to be distracted here and there. Yeah, you know, you go on vacations and you do things, but while you're gone, your heart is with Christ. You don't put Christ on a shelf and then go do your thing and then come back. Right? Jesus is foremost and centered in yours and my life. And as long as we keep that going, whether we have a few people or a lot of people, there at least the people that are going to be here, there's going to be life here. And that's what's dead about a lot of other churches. There's no life. There's no expectation. Because everybody thinks they have it all figured out. Oh, I know what's going to happen today. I'm not really expecting anything. Things are going to go this way and that way, and sometimes that's what happens. But you know what? I've seen in my life that I get out of a service what I put into it. I'm not looking for some kind of everything got to revolve around me and everything has to be just the way I like it. I come in, my desire, my heart's desire is to lift up His name because He deserves it, right?
Yes.
And then if I get blessed in the process, fine. And if a church is so me-oriented that it's whatever I can get out of it, boy, I didn't get anything today, and then there's going to be some problems in a person's life. I don't see that with us. And I hope that never happens. So,
you have Philippians? Are you there?
Yes.
Philippians chapter 3? I didn't tell you what verse though, right? That's because I hadn't opened my Bible yet. I want to be there too. All right, it's Philippians chapter 3 in verse 10. And this really connects to what Reggie was talking about with the whole thing about the things of the past and the things of the past holding you down and how we can't live there, that we need to move on see ourselves as God sees us and allow God to transform us and change us so that we don't think about the things of the past only as instructive things, so that we go, yeah, that's good. That was good. I'm glad I did. I made that choice. And I'm not making that choice again. Mm-hmm. Right? So we learn from the past, but we don't live in the past. And that's really important. This is what Paul's saying to the Philippians, starting in verse 10.
And I think this is at the heart of everything, because Jesus is at the heart of everything. Right?
Yeah.
Our Christian walk, Jesus is at the heart of it. It's not us that's at the heart of it. It's not me and what I can get out of church. It's about Him. It's about our focus on Him, on our dedication and commitment to Him. That's what's important. And when people start getting too self-focused, if it's that I might know me and how good I am and what is my ministry and it's not happening here, or there's all kinds of things that become so. What's that? What?
People say, I'm trying to find myself.
Yeah. Where are you?
Be careful, you might be disappointed.
Yeah. So here, this is what he says, verse 10. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I have already attained, either are already perfect, but I press on so that I might take a hold of the thing that Jesus has taken a hold of me of. You get that? I mean, we do have to know what his purpose for us is. We do have to know that, but we don't get the focus is on Christ, not on ourselves, right? And this is going to help us stay an alive church. And every single church and every single individual in this church, we're not perfect, are we? We haven't attained to a lot. We have a ways to go, and we make mistakes, and the elders make mistakes, and everybody makes mistakes, and we learn, and we give room to one another, and we grow together, right?
Yes. And there are times when we have to make a decision to press on.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And when we become aware, it's time for us to say, hey, I need to change my attitude about church, about myself, about brothers and sisters. Lord, I want you to do some changing in me. And obviously it will be more specific than just that general thing that I said. And then he says this in verse 13. Brethren, I don't count that I have been taken a hold of, but this one thing I do. Forgetting the things that are behind. See, this is what Reggie's message, right? Forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forward unto the things that are ahead of me. God has some tremendous, tremendous things ahead. If we are in the end time, which I agree, if we are in the end time, there is a tremendous, at least the scripture tells us, there's a tremendous harvest out there that's white with harvest. And I don't think that's a coincidence that Glenn talks about being fishers of men. I know we're way up here in Milan and Dummer and maybe there won't be a lot of people that will want to feel like coming way up here from Berlin or Gorham. But there are people that do. Gosh, Bob's here from Randolph.
Oh.
Wow. So, yeah, but you see, the point is that wherever they end up going, it doesn't matter, does it?
No.
If it's here or someplace else, we want to be fishers of men.
Amen.
Yes.
Not to build up our congregation necessarily, but we want that if anybody is going to come to Christ and God wants to fit them in here, well, we want them here, don't we?
Yeah.
So forgetting the things that are behind, reaching forward to the things that are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This has been a very motivational thing for me, because I am a passive person and I'm very laid back most of the time. Now, you might not think that, because I'm always talking about, this, and I have some very strong ideas about the scripture, about how the church should be. I have strong opinions about politics and other things, and I know that I've rubbed a number of you the wrong way. But I'm more laid back than I might appear. And I need that particular scripture to motivate me.
Yes.
To not try to find it in myself, but to ask God, give me the energy, give me the insight, the wisdom, the words to say, and be able to have a heart for other people, right? I've told you this before. I'd be perfectly fine being a hermit somewhere. And I have to fight that a lot. So you can pray for me about that. You know? Okay. All right. All right. I just wrote all these little things down here. Oh, yeah. All of these situational things that people talk about, with Marie and Crystal, and being aware of what God might do. It isn't just here. It's our whole life. Our whole life is to serve Christ,
right?
Yeah. Our whole life isn't just to serve the Lord here in this building. It's all the time. It's in any kind of situation, and to be alive to that. You know,
yeah.
These two were alive to that, and I think that was that's a really good thing. I mean, we talk about our ministry and the gifts of the Spirit and moving in the gifts of the Spirit. Sometimes we have our own concept of what that means, and we're actually moving in gifts, and we don't even realize that we're moving in that particular gift because it doesn't look the way we think it's supposed to look. All right, go ahead. I had to get that out.
I just had a thought that Marie and I were laughing one day. We thank God for rotator cuff surgery.
Yeah.
If I didn't have that sling on, she might have smiled at me, but that would have been it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have felt such love.
Yeah.
Somebody walking by and smiling, yay, But she had compassion and empathy. Yeah. Never mind sympathy, but empathy.
Yeah.
She's been there. So we just do. I just wanted to get a chuckle out of that because we do thank God for.
Reaching out to people, it comes down to the love thing, right? It comes down to wanting the best for this other person. It isn't like what's the word I'm looking for? Now this is what I have to do first, and then after they respond in this way, then I'm going to say this. Well, when it becomes that mechanical, then that's what it is. It's just mechanical. And that's why when we talk about, hey, God, I want to know you. And in knowing you, I'm going to be more in touch with your love. And therefore, when I do reach out or when I am in a situation, it's going to be because I'm loving you. I'm listening to you. Right?
Yeah.
And that's what's going to make a big, big difference in our reaching out to people, whether they come here or not. But I think that is something that the Lord is... A few weeks ago, I was saying the whole thing about, we're at a crossroads. God wants to do some different things. He wants to do some new things. And that's going to require us to really either hear it and be open to it and pray for it, or... We're going to die inside, because we don't see anything more that we're doing now that, I'm a Christian, and I know Jesus, and I'm going to heaven, and all these different things can keep us from, and then we just grow on the side of a log.
Yeah. I've been finding, when you put yourself in a box and you see yourself in a certain way, then it's easier to put other people's boxes and say, oh, well, they're like this.
Yeah.
I've been noticing that I want to reach out to people who don't look like me, or people that I wouldn't normally think we'd have anything in common.
Yeah.
Like the guy that we passed yesterday morning coming out of Irving's, and he was in a, he was leaning against his car with a motorcycle jacket on and this big beard, not that people don't have ears, I know. And you know, we said good morning to him, and he seemed really happy that somebody he didn't know would say good morning. And I'm trying to do that more, just to reach out to people, just because I'm in their vicinity, you know, because God might have an appointment that I don't know about. And if I'm putting myself in a box, putting that person in a box, then it's easier to just walk on by.
Right. Yeah, that, very, very true. And our conception of what it means to evangelize, or what it means to do any of the kinds of gifts of the Spirit, or ministries in the Spirit, we can find ourselves really with having a heart of love is going to really take us a long way. Go ahead, Gary.
Just a little bit of the opposite of what Kathy was saying. You know, I have a beard, and I carry a firearm on me wherever I go. And some people get intimidated.
Yeah.
But when you throw in a nice word to somebody, or you're kind, gentle, you know,
breaks a barrier.
And they don't expect that from somebody who probably, you know, looks like me. You know, rather than, you know, so again, opposites.
Yeah.
You know, where somebody will say, wow, you know, not a fine person, not you know. It doesn't matter.
Break down all that.
Yeah.
Because our country is getting so split.
Divided. Yeah.
And divided by, you know, opinions, and this, to see something from a different perspective and break down those walls is what's going to bring us together.
Yeah. I see that a lot going to Walmart. I mean, I dare you openly. And some people are kind of like, you know, and some are like, excuse me, no thank you, you know, and others like, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
You, just because, you know, you're not evil.
Right.
Okay, Brad. Would you turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1? So, we're talking about aspects of the church that we need to be aware of so that we don't become dead inside. Because you know what? The churches that are dead inside, people don't even realize that it's dead.
Right.
They don't even know.
Uncomfortable a lot of times.
And that the scripture, or I'm sorry, the song, Light the Fire Again, is out of Revelation chapter 3. And it's all about the Laodicean church. And they didn't even realize that they were poor and miserable and blind. And they didn't even know that. Is there aspects about us, and I know there is about me, where I'm not even aware that I'm not bad off. You know?
Yeah.
And so it's important for us that, you know, God changes us. He's not judging us and, you know, ready to give us a backhand. He wants us to be open, to be changed, to listen to Him, and He'll give us the ability, He'll give us the grace to move on. That's what's so great about God, isn't it?
Yeah.
They'll discipline us if we need it. But you know when we need it? When we're stubborn.
Yeah.
When we're self-satisfied. Then He has to get our attention. But if we're listening to His heartbeat, well, then we're going to hear right away. We're going to go, oh, that's what you meant. I see what you're doing there. Okay, thank you, God. Thank you, God. So, all right. I want to talk here. In verse, chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Therefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure or certain. For if you do these things, you will never fall. Now, you know, all of us have callings. Yeah?
Yeah.
All of us are called to, for something. And sometimes one day it might be one thing, but another day it might be something else. But we all have callings. Now, I'll tell you a story. I've been very successful in my jobs, except for one. And this job I had for one day. I've never told you this story because I'm a little ashamed of it. But I only lasted in this one particular job for one day. And you know what? Probably the thing you're going to remember about this message the most is this. So I'm hoping that you don't, but I'm going to use this as an example. So this parent of a student I had got me a job over the summertime to work for Pike Industries. And I had to climb, and I'm scared of heights, even more so back then than now. I had to climb this big, long, tall ladder, get up into some kind of perch, and then it had to do with the mixing of the different materials to make the asphalt and all that stuff. And I had all these buttons to push. I had to make certain decisions. And I had never done anything like that. And most of you who know me know that I didn't know anything about anything except for what I know. And I didn't know that. And I didn't know anything about that. And I was wondering why the guy really pushed me to have this job. But I thought, hey, it's really good money. So I thought, yeah, okay, I'll give it a try. So after I got up, climbed up the ladder, which that was terrible as it was. It was too stressful, and I just couldn't handle it. So at the end of the day, I called the guy and I said, I don't think I can do this job. I am totally stressed out. I had a panic attack, you know, which was so totally not like me, but there I was, and I was in that position. You know, there are jobs that you have no business being in. I was not called for that job. I was called to be a teacher. I was called to be a pastor. Those things I'm sure of. There's a scripture in Proverbs, I think it's chapter 18, verse 16. It says, a gift makes room for itself. A man's gift makes room for itself. And what that means is that God opens doors. If you're called to be a pastor, God will open the doors for you.
Yeah.
I didn't try to become a pastor. In fact, I started to run away from it at first. But when I sensed, that God was calling me to it, I didn't have any choice. I knew that's what I had to do. And, well, God will just have to open doors. And he opened the doors. So a gift will make room for itself. God also closes doors. And when, this is one of the ways we know about our giftings, is because God will open doors for you if you have a gift in that particular direction. And he'll close doors where you don't. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So as we go through life, and this is what can happen. I'm tying this into this whole thing about the death of a church. What can happen in a church that makes it die is that people are trying to be in a ministry that they don't belong in. Or the other thing that can happen is God has a ministry for you, and either you're unaware of it or You're afraid of it, like I was there, or whatever, and you don't enter into that ministry. Because, you know, in Ephesians chapter 4, I think it's verse 16, it says that the body of Christ grows and is edified by what every joint supplies. That doesn't mean that every joint is supplying every single moment of every single service. Or that it's only talking about the service even. But you understand what I'm saying? That it's important that we do come together because we need one another. You're going to see things that I don't see. You're going to say things in a certain way that I'm not going to, that I wouldn't think to say in a certain way. I'll say something sometimes, and Reggie will say, yeah, well, that reminds me, and he gives this example. And everybody goes, oh, yeah, now I understand what Malcolm's saying. You know? You understand? We need what the whole body can do together. And if there's not a body ministry, eventually, that particular church is going to plateau, and then it's going to start to die. People won't know. We won't know if we aren't people that are hungry, that keep saying, light the fire in me. Keep me going, Lord. Let me be one that presses toward the mark of the high calling of God. Make that part of me, that it's not just something that I say, but that I really mean it. We have to go through that. We have to go through that experience of doing that. We do. There's so much that's going to be happening. And this is kind of a prophetic thing, or in a sense. I've been feeling from God that the things that are coming against the church, coming in the spirit realm, in the forces of darkness, are coming in so much stronger now because they know their time is up. It's like the deep state. Their time is up if they don't. They're going to do everything they can to keep things going the way it's going and create the globalist thing that they want to do. Now, you might disagree with that particular thing. Throw that over your shoulder. But these are things that are happening in the world, and we need to see them for what they are. We know that the Antichrist wants to set up a one-world government, and it's going to happen. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. I don't want to have the one-world system on us 10 or 20 years before the Antichrist comes along. Why would anybody here want to be under that? No. So we fight against that. We need to be aware of that thing that's going on, because it's certainly in the Scripture. This isn't some political thing I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about what the Scriptures say. So we want to be aware of these things. And it is darkness. It's the spirit of the ages. It's the spirit of our enemy that's coming in. And if you think that you and I are just going to lollygag around, that isn't what's going to happen. Because you know what? One of these days, a baseball bat's going to hit you or I in the back of the head if we're not aware. If we're not developing that deeper relationship with Jesus. And you know what? Most people, I'm safe. I feel good. Why press myself too much? Well, that's what the consequence is going to be. You're going to get taken out of the picture here. Not going to lose your salvation, but you and I could be taken out of the picture in terms of having an effective ministry. If we're not pressing toward that mark, and that's going to be the center point of what we need to be. People that want our fire lit up and alive to Christ and the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, I only spoke a little over half an hour last time I talked, so I might take my liberties this time. You know, kind of even it out. Somebody's going, oh no, please. I'm just going to go to two scriptures here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is all about the gifts of the Spirit. But I'm not going to go through them all. You guys have read them enough. You understand this. But, you know, the working of the Spirit within a church service is what is really important, isn't it? Us being open to the Spirit of God. And God, the Spirit, has gifts that he bestows. And there's the fruit of the Spirit that comes forth from people as they're being touched and moved on by the Spirit of God. And I'm just going to look at verse 14. It says, "For the body is not one member, but many." This is why we need to be alive to the Spirit. Every single one of us. Not just listening, that your job is just to listen to what I have to say or whoever's preaching. The agreement that happens, the praying with people afterwards, the connections that are made during the service, the prayer time, whatever. You know, these are important things for all of us. So the body isn't one member, it's many. And then verse 18 says, "Now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleases him." Right? There was another part of this that I guess I didn't write it down. But I know what it was. It's up a little bit further. It's we all can't be the same part of the body. It says in here, you can't all be an eye. You can't all be a hand. Not everybody's going to be a pastor. Not everybody's going to be an evangelist. Not everybody's going to be a prophet. Not everybody's going to be a deacon. Not everybody's going to be in charge of Sunday school. Not everybody, there are people that are called to certain things. And that doesn't mean that if you're not called to be a pastor, that you're less of a member of the body. We all have different callings. Is that clear? And you and I don't want to be trying to be a part of the body that God hasn't called us to be. Right? We all need one another. This is important, isn't it?
Yes.
To see it that way. Otherwise, the body doesn't function the way it needs to. All right, so go to chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. I hope you have the spiritual energy in your head to keep going here. Can you go just a little bit more?
Yes.
What's that? Press it on? You'll do it, huh? All right. So this is 1 Corinthians 14. And I am going to start off with jumping to right near the end. Verse 37. This is what he says, and then I'm going to talk about the things that he's referring to. Alright? Verse 37. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." So, there are people that, well, I'm spiritual, and I don't think that's right. And here's Paul saying, hold on a minute. Those of you who think you're spiritual and you think you're a prophet and you think that you know things, let me just remind you that what I just talked about, these aren't just my opinions. These are commandments from Christ himself.
Huh.
All right, now let's go back and look and see. Let's just go back and look and see. He's talking about not getting hung up on tongues. That it's good for that, but there needs to be interpretation if tongues are going to happen within a church. It's one of the gifts, so it's not. There's nothing against that, but don't overuse it. That's a lot of what's in previous to this. And then he goes on to say, and this is why here we don't make a big deal about tongues, but we're not against tongues. It's just one of the other gifts. Right? Is everybody clear? And if you have a gift in tongues and the Lord moves on you, feel free to speak in tongues. Right? There needs to be, but he says that there needs to be an interpretation. All right, so go to verse 26. All right, so we'll jump from verse 37, we're jumping back to chapter 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, that every one of you has a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, and an interpretation? Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, and then he goes on and says, let it be by two or three, or by two, at the most three. We'll jump down to verse 29. Let the prophets speak, two or three, and let the others judge. Everybody? I thought we were open to everybody just talking. No, he says, you know, two or three. What do I say that? Is there an absorption factor, maybe, that you can, people can only take so much? You're probably saying, yeah, can you shut up now? You can only take so much. And there is that thing. There is the thing about time. And the elders have been talking about this. And we want to be led by the Spirit. And we want people to feel that that they can share. But, you know, sometimes we go out beyond what the commandments of the Lord are. I'm not trying to, but you know, it says two or three. That's what you need. You get a message, and maybe somebody has something during the message or after the message that adds a little piece to something. But that's what it looks like to me. That this is saying, let the prophets speak two or three, and let the others judge. Now, I know if you keep on reading, it says in verse 31, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all might be comforted. Now, obviously, those two scriptures can't both be right in terms of, boy, two or three, or everybody. What, to harmonize verse 29 and verse 31, you have to look at this with this idea. Two or three is what he's saying for a service. But anybody, throughout the many times that we're going to have services, anybody can prophesy. But two or three at a time in a service. That's what it looks like. It says there in 14. Because there's focus, and there's a need to tighten up and make sure that this is Holy Spirit, that we don't go beyond the anointing, and that's very important for services, because services that are led by the Spirit through a long time, and me a long time, I'm hoping that it's still the Spirit speaking through me, that's fine. People can take that. But when a person goes beyond the anointing, well, then that isn't so great. And that happens in churches, doesn't it? Could be happening right now. Okay? All right. The other thing, and I'm not getting into this because I think that maybe Glenn next Sunday is going to be preaching it. I think he might be talking about this. I think another place where things die in churches, if there's only one pastor. The scripture, I'm not going to get into it, but the scripture is very clear that it's a multiplicity of elders. And elders and pastors are the same thing. If you do a word study and you look in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3, you'll see that an elder, which the word's presbyter, is the same thing as a bishop, which is an overseer, which is the same thing as a shepherd, which is a pastor. It's all the same office with three different kinds of functionality. And so, elder-run churches are very important because that's how it was set up. Right? You guys know this, so it isn't like we need instruction here on this. But it's good to be reminded. It's good to make sure that we understand why we are the way we are, why we're set up the way we're set up. I'm going to make this comment. Because people can say, well, we just want to be a Spirit-led church. We do want to be a Spirit-led church. But the decision-making on how the flow of the service is going to go, who does that? Is it the spirit just kind of out there, or is the government of a church, is the direction of a church through the decisions of the eldership?
Yes.
That's who's been given that authority, right? Now, we are an elder-run church, and hopefully through the Spirit of God, right? Hopefully through by the Spirit of God. But the elders, like everybody else, we make mistakes. Right? We made some mistakes. But an elder-run church, hopefully, is a Spirit-run church. If it's just I think this kills churches. Oh, we're a Spirit-led church. Anybody can just kind of take over at any time if they're moved on by the Spirit. And yet the Scripture is very clear that it's the eldership that is to run the church, to make the decisions about the service, right? Mm-hmm. There is a lot put on the person's shoulders. A lot of it is Reggie. But whoever's leading the service, he doesn't just come popping in here and just decide, okay, let's do this today. No. Reggie or Steve or Joe or anybody who has led a service, there is preparation involved. There's praying to know the direction that the service is supposed to go in. So if somebody comes along and they think that they have something spirit to bring to the church, well, Reggie or whoever needs to know whether that's of God or not. And if he decides no, we have to go, oh, okay, well, I guess it isn't. Maybe my timing's off or something. And that's not a thing coming against anybody. I hope that doesn't stop anybody. If Reggie or if we have to say, well, we're not going to go in that direction right now because he's prayed, he's got the thing. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. I think we have to be right up front and say these kinds of things because people can misinterpret what's going on. We want the flow of the Spirit. Don't you feel? Do you feel that there's a good flow of the Spirit in our church?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And people have freedom to step out. Our big problem is most people don't want to step out as much, right? Or feel that, oh, I don't have that. But freedom is there, isn't it? And we want to keep that because we want to keep this place alive. I didn't go too far into what you're going to talk about, right?
No, I mean, I've actually paved the way for
it. Yeah, that was what I was hoping.
Scripture.
Well,
yeah.
We pray about next week because it's going to be a spiritual warfare type thing, talking about eldership dealing with the mystery of iniquity.
Ah.
So we pray about that. So.
We've been talking a lot in the elders' meetings about we have a responsibility to the church. We answer to God. We don't take this lightly. And we have to answer to the Lord for all of this. For the direction that we go in, for the decisions that we make. And we need your prayers a tremendous amount. But so for today, that we would just be people that would have a fire and pursue God. And that's going to come from inside you. Can't manufacture, you know, you have to ask God to give you that. We have to see that there's gifts, and we need to know what our calling is, and to make that certain, and to begin to step out and move in it. Ask God to help us in knowing what it is, and to be moving out in it, whether it's evangelism or what it happens to be. And there is an eldership, and there is going to be things where hopefully we're going to have the right vision. You'll be in agreement with that vision, and we'll all move together. And that's going to keep a church functioning the way it needs to, and not be a casualty like many, many churches are. Yeah.
Just a quick clarification is. The reason that this has been such a hot topic is because there is a harvest out there, but there's also evil out there.
Yes.
And so evil can infiltrate a church, right? So there has to be some decision making.
Yep.
On the elders' part to make a decision sometimes, or whoever's leading the church, because of the there's other forces out there that entering the church and kind of manipulating the church in a way that's not good for anybody. So that's just a little clarification on that. Not to say that anybody in here is evil.
No.
But it's happening. I mean, like churches around the country, they're dealing with this stuff, right? There's church busters out there.
Yep.
They come into a church and they want to destroy the church, okay? And it's a conscious thing that they're doing on purpose. So everybody's got to be careful. And as things get more chaotic in the world, the end times, you know, gets more chaotic in the world, this stuff is going to happen more and more. Yep. So it takes vigilance on everybody's part to make sure that this is going the right way.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Lord, we look to you. Lord, we want to be a church that doesn't have to have an autopsy. Lord, that we'd be vibrant, alive, functioning, every joint supplying. Lord, that the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit would flow in a greater way, that we'd be open for you, Lord, to show us the different ways to reach out to people. Lord, just give us your love to motivate us and help us along in this. And Father, we thank you so much that you love us. Be with the eldership that we lead the right way, and we thank you, Lord, it's multiple, it isn't just one person, and Lord, be with all of us today, and all that we do, strengthen us, and enliven us, Lord, by your Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray, amen.